that right?
Yes, sir.
Am I one?
Yes,
that right there.
Hey, amen. Amen.
Oh,
yeah. All right. I appreciate the chance to be here tonight. If you open your Bible with me to Genesis chapter number 22, and I got something from both of those messages tonight. Thank the Lord for it. And the little girl's singing. My family sings. In fact, they're out in Pennsylvania tonight singing. And Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord,
amen,
all ye lands. Come before his presence with singing. And I like singing. I really appreciate the chance to come down here tonight. Brother Ryman is a very dear friend of mine. And I remember the first time I came down to church, the gym wasn't here. And there was cows out here walking around. I mean, it's changed. How long you been here?
30 years.
30 years. Well, it's probably close to 30 years ago, first time I was down here.
Yeah.
I don't even know how we met. I know it had something to do with the Bible.
Amen.
But,
amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. I preached this message Sunday morning in our church, and I didn't know I was going to be the third preacher. I thought, oh, my goodness. People ready to go to bed, man. But I've been to Sammy Allen's, and the offering was 3 hours. So, I was down at Brother Rojas. We had church Sunday school, and then we had church in the morning, and then we had 6 o'clock church at night and 7 o'clock church at night. And then we had prayer meeting, and then we had Saturday night church. I'm talking about every week. Then we had all-night prayer meeting, and then we did it over again. And then had chapel every day. So it's good. It's all good. Genesis chapter number 22. It came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It just came. All this is going to pass. And it came to pass. After these things, God did tempt Abraham. Now, God doesn't tempt anybody to do evil, but he was testing Abraham. And let me just say this. Every believer is going to be tested. There's going to be testing, and then there's going to be more tests. Sometimes you're going to be taking a test. You don't even know you're taking a test. And so he was tested and tempted. And Abraham said, he said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac. Now, what do you mean, your only son, Isaac? What about Ishmael?
Yeah.
I thank God he doesn't even mention our Ishmaels.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Amen.
You remember when that prodigal come home and the father never even said, where you been?
Yeah.
He never said, why'd you leave?
Yep.
He never said, what'd you do?
Yep.
It was a brother brought all that stuff up.
Yeah. Yeah.
The father said, kill the fatted calf.
Yeah.
And put the best robe on him.
Yeah.
And put shoes on his feet. And I just thank God for that. I really, really, really do. I didn't get saved until I was 30 years old. And I thank the Lord. He doesn't mention our Ishmaels. Isaiah 43, verse 25, God says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. God doesn't just cover our sins. He takes it away. And I thank the Lord. Over in the Psalm, Psalm 103, the Bible says, he has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. God doesn't deal with us as sinners. He deals with us as sons. God doesn't look at us like old sinners getting cleaned up. He looks as us as never sinned. He sees us. We have the righteousness of Christ, and Christ is perfect, and my position in front of the Lord is perfect.
Amen.
I have a perfect position, a perfect sanctification as far as the Lord is concerned. He said, take now thy son, thy only son, and whom thou lovest, and get thee unto the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Abraham loved Isaac. Isaac was his whole life. Isaac was his everything. And the Lord said, I want you to take that thing that's most precious to you, and I want you to give it to me.
Yeah.
The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away.
Yeah.
And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, 2 of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place. We're going to come back to that place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and notice, come again to you. Abraham had great faith. Abraham is known as the father of the faithful, and he believed God was able to raise his son from the dead. Abraham did not know that God was going to spare his son. He was willing to lay his son on that altar, but he believed that there was going to be a resurrection and that he was going to be with that son again. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering, laid it upon Isaac, his son. He took the fire in his hand and knife, and they went up, both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham, his father, and he said, my father. He said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And then Abraham says something that's absolutely profound, just an unbelievable statement. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together, and they came to the place which God told him of, and Abraham built an altar there. Abraham was a man of altars. He was a man of worship. And he laid the wood in order, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. He wasn't going to pull that knife down into Abraham's chest, but he was going to slit the throat of the sacrifice. And Isaac was going to drown in his own blood as his life was poured out on that altar. And the angel of the Lord, I believe that's the pre-incarnate Christ,
amen,
called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. He said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Abraham, you didn't hold anything back.
Amen.
You held it nothing back. You gave it all to me.
That's right.
And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. So we see this ram in the thicket, and Abraham uses this ram for a substitute. Now, I'm a hunter, and I know a little bit about thickets. And if you're caught up in a thicket, there's briars. So here's this picture of this ram in this thicket. It's a picture of a lamb with thorns on his head. And he is the substitute for Isaac. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. As it is said today, in this mount, the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. And he said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the seed which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now notice there's three seeds here. There's the seed that's like the seashore. That's Abraham's earthly seed. And that's talking about Israel. That's talking about the Jews.
Amen.
And then he says your seed's going to be like the stars of the heaven. I love that verse where it says he made the stars also.
Amen.
You say, what's that? That's Abraham's heavenly seed. That's the believers. That's us. You're part of that heavenly seed.
Amen.
Abraham is the father of the faithful. And then in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the seed of Abraham. He is the seed of the woman. He is the root and offspring of David. And there's so much in this chapter. I believe Genesis 22 is a mountaintop in the Bible.
Amen.
I like it all, but there's just certain chapters, man, they just reach out and they just grab a hold of you. Now look at Genesis chapter number 12 with me just for a minute. I want to give you first of all just a little, I don't have a lot of time here, but a little bit of history about Abraham. The Lord said to Abram, that was his name before Abraham, get out of thy country, from thy kindred, thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, like the United States better do, and curse him that curseth thee. First thing I want to say about Abraham is Abraham is called by God out of obscurity. Think about this. He's living in an idolatrous nation. Nobody in his family's saved. His friends aren't saved. It's just a wicked, wicked place. And God calls Abraham. You say, what is that? That's grace.
Amen. Yeah.
6 billion people in this world, and you are in America.
Amen.
And hopefully you are saved. You ever think about it?
Amen.
I mean, why would God save you? Why would God?
Amen.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
There's nothing we have ever done that would make us worthy.
Amen.
There's nothing we could do to deserve being saved. It's just grace.
Amen.
I'm not a hyper-Calvinist. I'm not a five-pointer. I believe whosoever will may come. But I know this. God is sovereign.
Amen.
And
yeah.
God does what he wants to do. And God does it where he wants to do it and how he wants to do it and when he wants to do it.
Yeah.
But if you're saved, you are, listen, you are like Abraham, just a picture of grace.
Yeah.
Thank God for his grace. Grace, grace, God's grace.
Amen.
And then look over in Genesis 15 and verse number 3. Abraham said, to me thou hast given no seed. I mean, I'm going to be the father of the faithful. I don't have any children. And one born in my house is my heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thy heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and he said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he, God, counted to him for righteousness.
Yep.
So here's Abraham, way back here. Listen, 4,000 years ago, Abraham walks the earth, and he's a picture of a person saved by grace through faith. What a thought. I mean, here he is. You see those stars? I see them, Lord. That's the way your seed's going to be. Yep, I believe you, Lord.
Yep.
And God says, you do? And Abraham says, sure. And he counted his faith for righteousness.
Amen.
The Jehovah
Amen.
False witnesses will take you over to James, and they'll try to teach salvation by works.
Yeah.
And they'll talk about how he was justified when he offered Isaac. Listen, in Genesis 15, Isaac ain't even born yet. He's saved before Isaac ever comes into the picture. So we have somebody here that's saved by grace. Are you saved through faith and not of yourselves? It's a gift to God. And then look in Genesis 17, chapter 17, verse 1, trying to hurry. And Abram was 90 years old and 9. The Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be thou perfect. So here's Abraham. He's saved by grace, saved by faith. And not only is he saved, but he walks with God. And God appears to him. God reveals himself to him. And he knows who God is. Don't you like it when God comes? Don't you like it when you're alone somewhere and it's just you and God? And here's Abraham. He's fellowshipping with God. There's not a lot of believers, but listen, he has the Lord. Look over in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 22. Genesis chapter 19, verse 27. And Abram got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. God's going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot is down there in Sodom. Lot is a picture of a carnal Christian. Abraham is a picture of a separated Christian.
Amen.
Abraham, Bible never says Abraham even goes near Sodom. And Lot's down there. And Abraham, listen, he gets up to the place where he stood before the Lord. And the Bible says in verse 29, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. Now here's Abraham, and he's got a place where he meets with God. He meets with God, not just in the crisis, not just when the judgment's coming, but this is the place where he stands before the Lord. You know, a lot of us, we stand before the Lord like we put God up in the corner. God, I know you're up there, and it's good to know you. Good morning, God. Good night, God. And then when we get in trouble, it's all of a sudden, where are you, God?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question. Where is your place?
Yeah. Amen.
I have a place up in my office. I have a chair of a sheepskin there that I kneel on, and that's my place. That's where the Bible talks about he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And do you have a place?
Amen.
Brother Ryman hardly ever gets up to preach on a Sunday that we haven't prayed for him. Hardly, I can't remember not praying for Brother Ryman. There's a place there, and you need to have your own place.
Amen.
You need to have a place where you meet with God. I believe this. I believe that place is the most important place in your whole life.
Yes, sir.
That's more than where you sit and eat your meals.
Yep.
That's more than the more important than the bed you sleep in.
Amen.
Listen, you can't live from Sunday to Sunday and be a spirit-filled Christian. You've got to walk with God every day. Jesus said, if any man come after me, let him take up his cross. Let him daily, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me.
Yeah.
Go back to Genesis chapter 22, and I'm hurrying. We see a little history of Abraham, but I want to show you a picture here. This is a small picture. This is a type of Calvary. This experience of Abraham taking his son up on this mountain and offering him up to the Lord. He sacrificed him in a type. Abraham, of course, is a type of the Father. And the Father, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Isaac is a type of Christ, the Son. Let me say a couple things about him. Number one, he had a supernatural birth. Now, he wasn't born of a virgin, but his mother was 90 years old and his father was 100 years old when he was born. He had a supernatural birth, and he was the promised son. The Bible says, this shall be a sign unto you, a virgin, not a young maiden, shall conceive, and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name what? Emmanuel, God with us. And not only that, and I love this, he was the beloved of his father.
Amen.
He was the beloved of the father. You remember God at his baptism. He said, this is my beloved son of whom I am well pleased. And when on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter said, let's make three tabernacles, one for you, Moses, Elijah. And all of a sudden that cloud moves in. And I hope you know what it is, and I believe you do when that cloud moves in. And out of that cloud, God said, this is my beloved son.
Amen.
Isaac's a picture of that beloved son. I hope you love the Lord. We can't possibly love him as much as his father loves him. But I hope you can say about the Lord Jesus, he is my beloved. I am my beloved and he is mine. The place. I want to talk about the place. The Bible says over there in verse number 4, he said they lift up their eyes and they saw that place far off. We came up from Tennessee. My kids were singing down in Tennessee, and we came up last week from Tennessee, and when I was down there, I would see these mountains in the distance. And you'd see these high mountains and these different shapes, and man, you could see those things far off. I mean, you could see them miles and miles away. So when it says that they saw the place far off, Abraham sees that place, and it probably just stops him when he sees it and thinks, I'm going to have to go up there, and I'm going to offer my son, and that's the place where he's going to die. But I believe not only is he talking about distance here, but I believe he's talking about time. He saw it far off. In Luke chapter number 23, the Bible says in verse 33, and they came to the place which is called Calvary. And there they crucified him. There's a place called Calvary. I've been there. And I don't think Abraham was just talking about seeing that place, but I think he was talking about looking ahead in time. Here's what Jesus said. He was disputing with the Pharisees. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it, and he was glad. Now, I don't know what God revealed to Abraham. I'm sure whatever he revealed to him, he revealed to him, I don't know, with an audible voice, maybe in a dream, maybe a vision. But I believe with all my heart, Abraham, what does it mean? He saw my day and he rejoiced to see it. Maybe just possibly Abraham realized that this is something that just a little picture of the big thing God was going to do 2,000 years down the road. I know this, that place is a sacred place. He rejoiced to see that day. And then look at verse number 5. Again, he talks about the resurrection. We're going to come again. Hey, Jesus came back to life. on the third day. The angel said, why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. But not only did he come to life on the third day, he's coming back to this earth again.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I believe, listen, I think we're getting closer, closer.
Yes,
we're
sir.
Closer every day. I know that.
Amen.
But the way this old wicked world is going, it can't be too far off.
Yes, sir.
It can't be too far off. And then we looked at this just briefly, but look at verse 7 and 8. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. Here's John the Baptist, and he's down by that Jordan River, and he's baptizing people for the repentance, for the remission of sin. And he sees the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Amen.
I look at this in two ways. God will provide himself a lamb. Jesus Christ, God incarnate. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God will provide himself a lamb. Real quick, look at Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. Acts 20 and verse 28. And I love this verse. The Bible says, take heed to yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, capital G, which he, God, has purchased, notice, with his own blood. Hey, we are purchased with God's own blood. God supplied himself a lamb. Think about that. God, very God, Jesus, very man, very God. He provided himself a lamb, but let me say it this way. God will provide himself a lamb. There was a payment to pay. There was a payment to pay. Look in 1 John chapter number 2. God is merciful and God is loving, but God is just. And somebody had to pay for sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ was that somebody. In 1 John chapter number 2, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And notice this, he, talking about Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins. That propitiation means a satisfactory payment.
Amen. Yeah.
A satisfactory payment. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus didn't die just for the elect. There's no such thing as a limited atonement. He died for the sins of the world. He tasted death for every man. Let me say this. Jesus did not die to satisfy the devil. Jesus died to satisfy God. I hear people preach about, you know, the devil demanded this payment. The devil didn't demand payment. God is righteous. Somebody had to pay the price. Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Thank the Lord. He is a propitiation for our sin. In Genesis chapter 22, I'm going to ask you a question. What was the test? It's who or what you love the most. Who do you love the most? Or what do you love the most? You remember in John chapter 21, Jesus has already risen from the dead. And Peter says this, I go fishing. Now he wasn't saying, let's go have some fun, let's go fish. Peter was going to go back and to what he was doing before Jesus came.
Right.
You remember Peter was a fisherman.
Right.
And Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. And he forsook all. He forsook it all. And he followed him.
Right.
And now Peter, even after he sees the risen Christ, he's discouraged. And he's going back fishing. Here's the sad part. Some of the disciples said, we're going with you.
Yeah.
You know, you don't, listen, Dad, you don't just hurt yourself when you go back on the Lord.
Amen.
Church member, you don't just hurt yourself. You hurt other people.
Yeah.
You know, when people get mad and leave churches, they don't want to leave nice. They don't want to leave on good terms. They want to try and take somebody else with them. Jesus comes to Peter. Here's the first thing he says. He says, lovest thou me? Do you love me, Peter? But he doesn't just say, do you love me, Peter? He says, lovest thou me, what? More than these. Hey, God doesn't want us just to love him. He wants us to love him more than these. You say, what is the these? Maybe it's the fish. Maybe it's his friends. Maybe whatever it is. It could be. You fill in the blank.
Yeah.
God says the great commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul. We need to love him more than anybody.
Yeah.
I've been married to my wife. We've been married 51 years. I met my wife when she was 14 years old, fell in love with her when she was 15, got engaged when she was 17 on her 18th birthday. We got our marriage license. She feels the same way about me that I feel about her. She's second in my life. I don't mean that to be smart. I don't want you to think I don't love my wife. My kids, man, he's talking about his five-year-old grandson. Man, I got one of my grandsons. We hunt together. He's my hunting partner. I got nine grandchildren. I live with three of them. I love them. But I'm not going to put them before the Lord. I'd be afraid to put my kids before the Lord because I'd be afraid God would take them because God said, I'm a jealous God and I won't have any other idols before me. Brother, scares me when people put their kids before the Lord. We got people who won't come to church because they don't want to put the kids in the nursery. Hey, who gave you that kid? We got people staying home on prayer meeting night because the kid's going to play baseball. You're just teaching that kid baseball is more important than God. The application, the Abraham test. Will you give God your all? I surrender all. We sing the song. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Folks, you and I, we're the same as Abraham. And God doesn't expect any less of us. Now, he's not going to tell you to take one of your children and tie them up and go out here and cut their throat with a knife. But God, you know, people come up and they dedicate their children to the Lord. You do that down here?
Yeah.
We do that. Sometimes I think it's kind of like, I think it's good. Oh, yeah, you know, here's this baby. We're giving it to the Lord. What about when that young person gets to be about 17, 18, and they tell you they want to go to the mission field? I got people scared to death their kids are going to get called to the ministry. What about that boyfriend? What about that girlfriend? My son, Brother Chawa, he's a co-pastor in our church. I let him do all the work. I take the credit for it, brother. I remember when he was a teenager, he was going off to school. And I remember the day, I was dreading the day that he was going to leave. Real close family, love my kids. And so I decided I was going to go with him. I'd drive him out. Somebody gave him a Chevette. A Chevette was like a tin can on wheels.
Yeah.
Your rear end was about 6 inches off the ground. Wasn't no shocks in that thing. And he'd been listening to some music from the Marshall family. Remember the Marshalls?
Yeah.
And man, God, I could see God was working on his heart. We got out to the college. He's going to go to Hiles Anderson. And he said, Dad, go get some tea or something. Go somewhere. I went, and I sat, and I drank a tea, read my Bible, come back. He was laying on the bed crying. And here's what he said. He said, it's so hard. It's so hard. He had a girlfriend in that school. She was a year older than him. And his whole plan wasn't, where does God want you to go to school? His whole plan was, wherever she's going, that's where I'm going.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm going to Trinity. Now picture this. Look at a map. New Jersey, Hammond, Indiana, Jacksonville, Florida. They already started school. Called down there on the phone. They said, yeah, bring them down. So I went from New Jersey to Chicago to Jacksonville. But you know what? That changed his whole life. I don't think he'd be in the ministry today if he hadn't done what God wanted him to do. I'm going to close. We have a family in our church, the Bassetts. And the Bassetts are in our church now. Brother Bassett goes back to Africa, but he's working with church planning. The Bassetts were missionaries in Africa for over 30 years. Raised their kids. Some of their kids were born on the field. If God called you to the mission field, would you be willing to go? They had malaria, the two of them, over 30 times each. You know, back in the day, when somebody went to the mission field, they went down to the ship, and they waved goodbye, and they never saw them again. You understand that? Those people buried their wives and their kids on the mission field. They buried them on the mission field. Where you want to live. I remember when God called us down to Texas, and the moving truck, we had it parked out front, had everything loaded. And I remember leaving the house. I didn't know how long we were going to stay down there. And we had these morning glories. My wife planted morning glories, and they have a vine. They climb up poles. And this is the stupidest thing, but I remember looking at them morning glories. I thought, man, I've been waiting months to see them, and now they're just ready to come out. I ain't going to see them. I remember surrendering to the mission field. Lord, I was willing. He didn't send me to the mission field, but here's the point I'm trying to get. I was willing.
Yeah.
Now, I'm all done. Here's what I'm saying to you. Listen. God didn't want Isaac. Doesn't mean God didn't love Isaac, but God didn't want Isaac. God wanted Abraham.
Yeah. Amen.
But he didn't want part of Abraham. He wanted all of Abraham. Whatever your Isaac is, I'm not saying God, you had to give it up. I'm not saying God's going to take it away. I'm just saying you got to be willing. God's got to be first. I'm done, preacher.